Our scripture lesson this morning is John 3, verses 1 through 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows whenever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whom believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
This morning we're having the second of the Lenten series, or actually the third if you count Ash Wednesday. And today the topic is birth, specifically spiritual birth, and along with that, being born again. Just in case you weren't around to get this information last week, let me just start by reminding you that there's an online Bible study that accompanies this series, and you can find it right at rethinkchurch.org. There's videos, audio, and also some other resources online for each week's lesson. So if you haven't tried a Bible study that way, give it a try. Maybe it'll be something cool for you. So today we're going to take a look at the question. Well, actually, two questions. The first is, what does it mean to be born again? Okay, so somebody's born again. So that means that now we have to say, so what does a born-again person look like? That's the direction that we're going to go this morning. And this scripture, which focuses in on the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, is a really good one for thinking about that, because we have questions and we have answers, and Jesus lays it out. What a born-again person looks like, what it means to be born again, and also Jesus teaches about what it means to live the born-again life. And this is of course of supreme importance to us, the church, because we are hopefully among the born-again, And so we live that life, and it is for us to take this life to the world. Evangelism is something that didn't die out in the Middle Ages. It's something that continues today. And part of rebirth is sharing the word. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to be born again? That's a question that the church has wrestled with for many ages. For some, it was a change of heart or a change of mind, an intellectual encounter with God that led to changed priorities. For others, it was a matter of adopting a certain piety, a certain form of worship and behavior that indicated that you were amongst the born again, and all sorts of variations in between. Like I said, this has been something that the church has been talking about for centuries, and I don't think we're done yet. It's an important question to consider, though. I think that probably the best way to think about being born again is to first just think about being born. Now, I don't remember being born, and I would bet most of us here don't either, but we know what it's about. We know what happens when a baby goes from living in his or her mother's womb and then comes forth into the world to live a different life. In a word, birth is all about change. Birth is all about things being completely different. And sometimes it happens slowly. Sometimes it happens quickly. And I've seen both sides of that. George took 3 days to get here. The girls were born by section, and I think it took less than a minute. I was kind of distracted. I wasn't really watching the clock. But it was a lot faster. But in both cases, the common thing is that they went from the environment of a womb into this world. One of the truths about this is that once you've made that transition, you can't go back. And this is where Nicodemus was getting hung up, apparently. But to be born again means that in terms of your outlook on life, what you believe, and how you live that out becomes different because you've moved from one world to another. Maybe you haven't left the planet, but your soul is certainly in a different place. Nicodemus, he was asking his questions as though he were a seeker. But really, if you look at what Jesus said to him, it reveals a one-dimensional approach to the life of faith. And it was revealed in that Nicodemus was first trying to butter Jesus up. That's where he came and he said, you know, teacher, we know that you're a great teacher, and we know that you are of God. And Jesus sees right through this, and he moves on to other things. And Nicodemus' responses really reveal the way that his heart was working, the way he was thinking. First of all, he said, what do you have to do to be born again? And the response was that you're born again in the sense that you would be born from your mother again. You're born again, anothen, from above. And that's where when Jesus is talking about flesh giving birth to flesh and spirit giving birth to spirit, that's what he's referring to. It's a new birth of the spirit. But Nicodemus didn't want to hear that. And so he retreated to a position of just saying, how can this be? In other words, he said, can't be. That's impossible. Now, we all know people who, for whatever reason, don't like change to the degree where they would rather deny the impossibility. Hold on. I got that wrong. They'd rather call something impossible than to risk the uncertainty of what is possible. Now, I'm poking a little fun at my folks here. I don't think they'll mind. I've done it in their presence, too. But it took my sisters and I 5 years to get my folks on high-speed internet. When we talk about all the good things that we could do, we could talk on Skype or some other program like that with our computer to computer, no long-distance charges. We could make video calls and you could see the grandkids. The sound's a lot better, Dad. But you know that old AT&T dial-up account? It worked, it was good enough. Well, because AT&T is a large corporate entity which doesn't always have concern for the smallest accounts, started phasing out its dial-up service. Mom and Dad had a decision to make. You know, their internet service was going away. They had to do something. And so my siblings and I seized the opportunity. And we said, you know, there's this great promotion running by whatever company it was. You know, why don't you give it a try for 3 months? They give you the first 3 months free. And their perceptions of the internet were born again. All of a sudden, instead of simply being able to download email and usually having to wait a while for it, you know how that goes. All of a sudden, he and Mom could have two computers together online at the same time, one surfing the web, one getting the email. Nobody had slowed down. Nobody had stuttered. And that in itself was pretty cool. And we got them going on Skype, where you can make video calls from computer to computer. And my folks are of an age where, because of health, they can't travel as much as they used to be able to. And let me tell you, the first time we hooked up a call with cameras on both ends, to see the looks on their faces, to be able to see their grandchildren bouncing around and talking to them and drawing pictures to hold up to the camera to show them, priceless. Whole new world. And I think I've heard whispers somewhere that said that they don't know why they didn't do that sooner, but I try not to listen to those. That's the kind of difference between not born again and born again. That's the kind of difference that you experience in perspective. Where all of a sudden, it's all different. And it can be in a good way. And because God's behind it, I choose to believe that born again means you've entered into a better way. And to sit when God nudges me to say, sorry, that's impossible. Oh, I wonder what I've missed from time to time. Now, I want to ask you this morning, have you done anything impossible today? Anybody stop at an ATM on the way to church because you prefer cash for your offering? Who heated up something in a microwave this morning? Anybody here have satellite radio or like DirecTV or something? Now, it wasn't long ago, really, that those things weren't possible. It really wasn't that long ago that TV consisted of the two or three channels that you could get in your area. And if you happen to live in a rural area on a farm or something, you might have been lucky to get one channel. Things hadn't come along yet to make those new things possible. I know there's a lot of folks in this church who have had knee replacements or hip replacements or another sort of joint surgery like that. It wasn't all that long ago that those weren't possible. So if you ask me, you guys are doing a lot of impossible things. And so that really pushes us to think of the question. So how is this possible? You get the answer in John 3:16. Being born again is possible because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's what makes this possible. And I'll bet you probably have seen one or two born-again people this morning already. Maybe a born-again person looked back at you out of a mirror or across the breakfast table. Maybe you had coffee with a born-again person this morning. And even though we all may look different, in one respect we are the same. We are God's children, and we reflect the nature of God because we are born again. So what does a born-again person look like? Looks like the church, I think. So the difference between a born-again person and someone who has not been born again is like the contrast between a newborn infant and a tomb. In a tomb, well, it's filled with death. There are no possibilities. There's no fulfillment to be found. It's only signs of what once was and can never be again. Whereas in that newborn life, virtually all you can see is possibility. A new life is a life that needs to be loved and nurtured, and it needs to be lived with the recognition that without Jesus, you can't make it on your own. And what Jesus told Nicodemus is equally as true for us. If we're not born again from above, we're a tomb. We're done, and there is no good news. But if we're born again from above by water and the Spirit, through the water of our baptism and the Spirit falling upon us and filling us after our baptism, it's a new day. It's a new life. So if we're going to live the newborn life, the first thing that we have to do is to realize that we're to be living it like a newborn in utter dependence on our heavenly parent. So living the born-again life. I guess now we're back to the nitty-gritty of, how exactly is it that we do this in the world? Does this mean we're going to have to memorize the Bible? Does this mean that we're going to have to like stop people on the street and ask them if they're saved or something like this? Maybe. All depends what God wants of you. But the first thing in terms of being born again, how to live it, is not to get into the rut that Nicodemus and his associates were in, where the life of faith that we live does not become one-dimensional. It doesn't find itself getting trapped in only one way of expressing itself or only one way of doing things. It doesn't get stuck in one time and one place. This is why Jesus was so hard on religious people, because their religion had trapped them. And what new life they had was draining away, if it wasn't gone already. And here's the big thing about having a one-dimensional religious life. If that's the way you live your religion, then being saved basically becomes some sort of private conversion experience. And it stops there with the personal. And you get stuck in the me and Jesus stuff. And you lose all the beauty and the wonder of the church. You lose the ability to see the Holy Spirit doing things and changing lives and in wonderful ways. You miss out on so much. We're called to live and really live. Because a born-again person cannot help but be responsive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Starts with baptism. We arise from the water. The Holy Spirit comes down. And God says, "This is my child." Jesus describes the born-again person, the person of the Spirit, as being like the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Being born again means that we speak and we act and we think differently. It means that even though sometimes it might make us real nervous, we're open to God surprising us in our lives, to opening doors that we'd never thought of before, to find ourselves lifted up into new ways of living and relating to people. It means that we're willing to resist the temptation to put God and Christ in a box so we can only see the parts that we're most comfortable with. Jesus moved between heaven and earth and brought the two together. Christians in the church are called to move between the church and the world and bring them together. And we do that each in many different ways, but we live out that hymn. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. We who are born again. So here's something to look at this week in your life of faith as you go out and do impossible things. As you make your decisions this week, take a look at how you're making those decisions. Take a look at what you're thinking and how that fits into the patterns of your life. And pray that God might move you into a different pattern or a different way. And be sure to include God. Because God gives us the resources of body and mind and soul, but He likes to be part of the process too. So go forth and live as though your life depends upon God, because it does. Go in faith. Go in newness of life. Go as God's hand in this world. So, are you born again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again lift our lives up to you. We pray that you would help us as people of the Spirit to live in ways that befit this life you have given us. Help us to see where we've become one-dimensional in our life of faith, and help us to rise above that. Help us to realize the full and glorious potential of the born-again life that you have provided through your Son, Jesus. Send us forth to bring the world and the church together as Christ brought heaven and earth together. And all of these things, Lord, we pray them in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.